As a pastor, I'm always encouraged anytime when I hear people talking about how they're reading the Word of God and also changing things up, maybe not going by the schedule that's out on the table. That's out there just to encourage you to do it. But I'm thankful that as individuals have started reading that and doing that, it's worked for some to do it that way. For others, they found it hasn't, so they're trying to adjust. And the main thing is that we're reading the Word of God. But more than just reading the Word of God, we're trying to understand the Word of God. And that way we can apply the Word of God. And I'm thankful. I've had several of you over the last few days tell me different things that you're doing and trying. And it always makes me happy to hear those things. And certainly thankful that Brother Wayne's willing to come and speak to us and encourage us to read and also to be diligent in our service War, which as he closed is our reasonable service. This morning the Lord will bless us. I'd like to look at a verse found in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30. This was written, of course, by Solomon, and he says this: "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise." Again, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. If the Lord will bless us this morning, I'd like to speak today on the subject of evangelism. And there's really so much that could be said on this subject, and really won't be time to try to cover it all. It's something that oftentimes we maybe talk about at the lunch table, and we realize that it's something we ought to be doing. And really, evangelism is simply pointing others to where the Word of God is proclaimed. It's really that simple. That's really all there is to what evangelism is. It's much like what the Lord told the wild Gadarean: "Go home and tell thy friends how great things the Lord hath done for you." And that's really all we're to do. In fact, David said it this way in Psalm 107, verse 2, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy." That's really all we're doing when we're trying to speak to someone about the Lord Jesus Christ, is to tell them how great things the Lord has done for us, and also to speak how he's redeemed us out of the hand of the enemy. He's been with us all of the days of our life. His providence has carried us through many dangers and provided us what we stand in need of. He's been faithful to us in all our troubles. In times of sickness, he's been our physician. In times of discouragement, he's been our strength. In times of trouble, he's been our safety. In days of worry, he's brought scriptures to mind that remind us of the promises of God, that he will ultimately deliver us from this world and all its problems. There's so many blessings that come through the knowledge of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we ought to simply tell that to other individuals that we encounter in this world. It's important. Again, here Solomon tells us that the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. He's letting us know in the first part of this text that the child of God who is active in trying to produce fruit to the Lord, he is a tree of life, or in other words, he is established in this life. He's an individual that has dug down deep in the Word of God and in his faith. He's an individual who recognizes his need of a Savior and is trying as he lives in this world not to accumulate all he can of the world's glory, the world's fame, and the world's wealth and power, but rather as he lives in this world, he's trying to do everything he can to further the gospel kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, whether in his own personal life, in his home with his children, in the workplace, in the school place, wherever it is, that's what he's attempting to do. All too often we spend our energies trying to get ahead in this world's goods and in this world's esteem, instead of recognizing that we are members of the kingdom of God himself, and that our goal in this life ought to be to further the kingdom of God as we live here day by day. When I get to the end of my life, I don't want to have the question asked, how much money did he make? It really doesn't matter, because I can't carry that along with me. It won't matter what kind of house I have, because it's not going to heaven with me, and at the end the Lord's just going to burn it up anyway. All the things that we might amass in this world, when you finally come to the last breath, what does it all really matter? What does it all really mean? As Brother Michael preached to us on Tuesday evening, if we gain the world but lose our soul, what profit is there? What does it really matter if the world has great esteem for us, but yet we've done nothing for the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ? I would much rather spend my days, and hope that you would as well, doing everything we can to try to further the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to try to see the church here at Little Union grow and increase and prosper in the word of truth, and try all that we can to be a benefit in the community in which we live. So here again he says the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. It's one who's dug deep and is stabilized in this world. And he says, and he that winneth souls is wise. Now we know Solomon is not telling us here that it is our job to win a soul from hell to heaven. We all recognize that that has to be the job of the Lord himself. There's not one of us that could add one stature to our height or one cubit to our height. There's nothing we could do to try to save ourselves or redeem ourselves or save anyone else for that matter. If I can't even save myself to glory, how in the world could I do it for you? If I can't fulfill the righteousness of the law, how can I make sure that you do so? We all will fall short, and we know that. And so Solomon is not telling us here that the child of God has the responsibility to preach the gospel in such a way that a dead alien sinner will reach out through faith to the Lord Jesus Christ and live and become a member of the Lord's body. That's not what at all Solomon is telling us about. In fact, if that was the charge Solomon was giving us, I would just sit down and quit before I even started, because I know that I would fall so short. But what Solomon is telling us, rather, that the child of God who is walking in this weary world, who's been taken out of the solitary way, as we read in Psalm 107, and brought to a city of habitation, meaning we who were lonely because we were aliens in this world, and we craved the people of God even though we did not know it. And when we found the house of prayer and the gospel of grace, all of a sudden we found our true home in this world, and we rejoiced in it. And now it's our responsibility to find those who are pilgrims and sojourners in this world and try to give them the same thing that we have, to encourage them that this is the way to the house of prayer, and this is the place where God dwells, and this is where you'll truly find a home while you dwell from this world and in this world, until finally we reach our heavenly and eternal home in glory. It is so vital that we try to do this. We know that the Bible makes it clear. We read this last Sunday that we've been saved. How? Through the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. We find it's, I believe, in Titus chapter 1 or chapter 2. He says, the grace of God hath appeared unto all men. Okay, that's what it's done. It's appeared to all men, meaning all his people. And what's it done? Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live. That's not the verse I wanted. I'm sorry. That's not the right one. The one I'm looking for is that the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ hath appeared. And this is what it's done. It's brought life and immortality to light. Now, I can't get the whole verse there. Usually I can, but I can't this moment. But anyway, the point is this. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is vital for this purpose. To bring the knowledge of salvation to light in the mind of the sinner. That does not come apart from the gospel according to what the Apostle Paul taught. And that is why it is wise for us to be winners of souls, so that other men in this world who are struggling under the weight of sin can recognize through the gospel that they have through Jesus Christ life and immortality, that they have been blessed through the death of the Son of God to be heirs of heaven forever and ever. So again, Solomon tells us, he that wins souls is wise. Now, I don't know about you, I want to be a wise man instead of a fool. I want to do everything I can to follow biblical wisdom. And according to Solomon, one of the ways to do that is to win souls to the Lord Jesus Christ. And once again, I've already made it clear, and you already know this, that does not mean that we're trying to take someone who is a dead alien sinner and make them a child of God. But rather, someone who we see needs the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're just simply trying to point them in the direction where they can go and be fed spiritually and encouraged as they live here in this world. That's all evangelism is. It's just, again, telling someone else who's discouraged, someone who's lonely, someone who's under the bondage of fear, someone who is hungering and thirsting after righteousness, where it is they can go to be filled. We find in Matthew chapter 5, the Lord Jesus made it clear that we are the light of the world, and we're also the salt of the earth. And he made it clear that we're not to hide our light under a bushel, but rather we're to make it clear, make it open, make it revealed, so that
other people might see our good works and what glorify our Father which is in heaven. That needs to always be the goal when we're trying to spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not that we can claim, look at all the individuals I've brought to the Lord's house. It's not about that. And it's not even about how good we live in this world, but rather when they see our good works, they will glorify our Father which is in heaven. We need a nation today who glorifies our Father which is in heaven. That is our greatest problem in the United States at the present moment, is too many people are trying to glorify themselves and glorify ungodliness, and that is why we are in the dirt and in the problems that we are in. And if men could see the gospel and see our good works and would glorify our Father which is in heaven, what a much more peaceful and wonderful place this would be, a place that it has been in years gone by. Again, he says, he that wins souls is wise. The Lord tells us how to do it. He just tells us that we're not to hide our light under a bushel. That means that our Christianity should not be something that we only expose on Sunday mornings at the house of God. Our Christianity ought to be something, our discipleship, our works ought to be something that's on display all the days of our lives, from Monday morning all the way through Sunday morning. We ought to be living what we profess every day of our lives, whether it is in the schoolhouse or whether it's at the workplace, or whether it be in traffic at 5 o'clock in downtown Tampa, whether it be at the airport or whether it be in our own homes, wherever it is, we ought to constantly be living the life which we have professed, and that is simply a life of faith and a life of discipleship. Again, the Lord says, no man lights a candle and hides it under a bush. Why? Because he needs light, and putting it under a bush hides it. The men of this world need the light of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and how shall they see it unless you and I are faithfully living what we're supposed to live. We find the Apostle Peter made it very clear that we're to sanctify the Lord God in our hearts, and we're to be ready always to give answer to every man that asks us a reason for the hope that's within us. Well, you know, the only way anybody's going to ask you about the hope that's within you is because you're living in such a joyful way that they see there's something different about you. When you go to school tomorrow morning, or when you go to the office tomorrow morning, and you're grumbling and complaining just like everybody else, they're not going to know the difference, and they're not going to know to ask you the reason for the hope that's within you. But when you can go to the workplace, or you can go to the schoolhouse, or you can go anywhere in this world and have in mind the promises of God and call to mind that He is with you, and we're a highly blessed people, and the Lord has been with us all our days, and we know He's going to be with us today and tomorrow, and no matter what, that even though the bills are due, you may not know where the money's going to come from, and even though you may be disturbed and troubled, you still have this sweet hope that the Lord is with you, and through that you have joy unspeakable, full of glory. People will begin to see that and take note of it. I know they will. I've seen it in my own life. There have been times, most of the time, that I'm guilty of the first, going to the workplace just as grumpy as everybody else. There's been a few times, though, I came home from Sunday worship and I was so excited it carried me on through Monday. And when I went to work Monday morning, I was still just happy. And I've had people ask me, why are you so happy? And a lot of times I'd be too ashamed to tell them the reason I was happy. I just kind of just ignore it instead of using the opportunity, like Peter said, and give them a reason for the hope that's within us. You know what I did? I covered the light. I didn't really want to expose the blessing I had received because I thought they might make fun of it or take light of it, instead of saying, you know, the Lord just gave opportunity. Here I let a light shine and someone asked about it, and I should have been ready to give an answer for the reason of the hope that's within me. Again, Solomon tells us, he that wins souls is wise. As we look through, especially in the New Testament, we find several instructions and encouragements on evangelism. And one of the most important aspects to me, though, of it, is the Lord's part in it. Too often we have the attitude, well, if we just simply invite, they'll come. And you've all tried that, I'm sure. Made the invitation, and then nothing happened. Or maybe made the invitation, they come one time, and that was the end of it. Too often, I think we just look to our own power, our own charisma maybe even our own joy, or our own intelligence to try to encourage people to come to the Lord's house, forgetting that the Lord has a work also in the work of evangelism. It's important that we be engaged, first of all, I believe, in prayer about this matter. that we are faithfully praying that the Lord would add to His church daily such as should be saved. Now I realize in Acts chapter 2 where that expression comes, the church met daily, so daily people were added. I find later in the Bible the church met weekly, and so weekly people were added. We have to meet twice a week here, and so obviously people couldn't be added daily. But the point is this, that the Lord was actively increasing His church. And we find, especially in the book of Acts, many miraculous things were taking place that caused many to believe in the Lord, and they were added to the church. The Bible says they were added. Sometimes it said they were multiplied. I really like that one. You know, additions to the church are good, but multiplication of the church is even better. I mean, that just means a greater number coming in. But it's important that, first of all, that we be praying about this matter. I find in Revelation chapter 22, as the Lord Jesus was closing down the book of the New Testament and all the word of prophecy of the Bible, He says these words in Revelation chapter 22. He says, "The Spirit and the Bride say, 'Come.'" Notice that there's a joint effort there. We find that the Spirit worked, but also the church, that's the bride, worked. If you were here last Sunday night, we spoke on how that we are the bride of Christ. He's the bridegroom. And we have the responsibility as the bride to be faithful to the bridegroom, the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of the ways that we're faithful to our husband, the Lord Jesus, is that we are exposing the gospel and the gospel kingdom to those in this world. And here the Lord Jesus, as He closed this through the pen of John, He says, "The Spirit and the bride, they say, 'Come.' And he that heareth says, 'Come.' And He says, 'And let him that athirst come. And whosoever will, let him drink of the water of life freely.'" And so He's talking about here the joys and the blessings that come in the church of God. Here we drink the waters of life freely. Here we come together to hear the Word of God, to sing praises to our Maker. Here we come together to rely on one another in fellowship and to receive strength from one another, knowing that we're praying for each other and here for each other. And that is vital. It is the water of life. It's that which sustains us in a dry and thirsty land. It's that that gives us what we stand in need of in a world that is weary, in a world that is opposed to us and the things that we stand for. So it is vital that we come to this place and drink of these waters that will sustain us and give us what strength we need to live day by day. And so here He says, whoever thirsts has the ability to come and drink of these waters and to drink them freely. But first He says, the Spirit and the bride say, "Come." There's an invitation that is expressed. And that he that hears, the person who receives the invitation, of course, says, "I'll go. I'll go to that place where they're declaring an invitation is made where I can drink and find that which will fill my soul." So here He says again, the Spirit and the bride say, "Come." The Apostle Paul, in two different occasions, one time in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the second time in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, declared that we are workers together with God. And when Paul made this declaration, he was speaking specifically about building the Lord's house. We know that when the Lord Jesus was upon this earth, He said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And I realize that the basic institution of the church of Jesus Christ has long been established. But the Apostle Paul said clearly that we are laborers together with God. He says, "Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building." But yet the apostle recognized that he was one who was working together with the Lord in building the Lord's building. What did he mean by that? He simply mean, I preached the gospel wherever I went, and as I preached the gospel, men heard it, and they received it as truth, and they were converted, and the church was added to it, was built up and strengthened by these who were coming in from the world. And so Paul showed clearly that he trusted the Lord, and he leaned upon the Lord in evangelism, but he didn't do so lazily. See, there's really two extremes about evangelism, even among our own people, and that is this. Either one view is that God will just send His people out of heaven. You know, they'll just drop in. And there are many among our people who have viewed it that way. And sadly, you watch as their churches just dwindle and dwindle down because they take no active participation in the work of evangelism because they just think that as a fatalist, God will send them. Now, I recognize that God does from time to time by His providence outside of disciples send new disciples. examples to his church. There are examples here in our congregation this morning who came to this place not because an old Baptist invited them and tried to express the gospel to them, but God miraculously worked and brought them. And that does happen from time to time. We find that in the New Testament in Acts chapter 8 when a man who's called a eunuch was leaving Jerusalem and he was traveling back to Ethiopia. And as he was going there, he was disturbed and confused about the word of God. And God took pity upon him, and so he just simply sent Philip the preacher to him, and there he heard the gospel. That was a miraculous event. It wasn't that the eunuch was seeking back at Jerusalem and just happened to run into one of the members of the church at Jerusalem and said, "Hey, come on out here to the house of God and we'll show you where the gospel is." No, God, by his mercy and his providence, supernaturally sent the gospel to that man. And that does still happen from time to time. I've heard of individuals who simply found the house of God, you would think by coincidence or accident, but rather it was the providence of God. But most generally, that's not how the Lord works. Most generally, he works through his disciples, members of the Lord's body. So one extreme is that we think God will just drop them out of heaven. The other extreme is that we almost think that God has no part in it whatsoever, and it's all based upon how we behave or how we act. And of course, that's another false extreme. Again, he says, the Spirit and the bride say, come. We need to be praying that the Lord would add daily to his church such as should be saved. It ought to be our daily prayer. I say this really not by accusation, but rather just by observation. We meet together twice a week, and we normally have a prayer before preaching, one after preaching, and on Sunday at noon we have one in the lunchroom, three prayers, two in the evening. Generally, five prayers a week take place here in this house. And I could count on one hand, I imagine, how many times I've heard or even myself have prayed that the Lord would add to this congregation. That tells me that if we're not praying for it, we're also probably not actively seeking it in the way we walk day by day. That may not be true, but I'm afraid that that is true. And so I do encourage us that we, as we leave here today, would be faithful as we meet together every week. That we would beseech the God of heaven to add to his church. And then I believe if we're praying for that, the attitude of our walk will also change. And all of a sudden we'll be doing as we're praying. And we'll be praying for opportunities to reach out. And hopefully God will bless those opportunities. And as we invite people to the house of God, hopefully they'll take the invitation because God is also working and has been working and will encourage them to come to the Lord's house. And then when they arrive, that we'll be praying that the gospel will find its mark that day in their hearts. And they will be converted here in the house of God and become one of us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ and join with us as we seek to follow the Lord day by day. I encourage us not only to pray that as we meet together on Sunday morning and Sunday evening, but as you pray each day for this congregation, that you would be praying in your own hearts, in your own homes, and in your own lives, that the Lord would add to this congregation day by day such as should be saved. That the Lord would bless us with opportunities, whether it be with co-workers, or whether it be even family members who do not attend, or whether it be classmates, or whether it be neighbors, or whether it even be somebody that we meet in the grocery store or at the barber shop, wherever it might be that we fill an unction to invite, that we would follow up with that and ask the Lord's help and do so and then just leave it to the Lord. You know, there's so much we can do, and what we can do, we ought to do. We need to be praying about this, and then I believe we need to follow up by inviting and encouraging, and then we leave it to the Lord's hands. Realizing once again we're workers together with him, and we need to be faithful in our part, knowing he will be faithful in his part. As I read, there's so many places we could go, and I won't try this morning. We may try to revisit this next week. There's a number of places in the book of Acts, especially, where you see the early church grew exponentially. And I realize that the time of the book of Acts was an extraordinary period of time. And I don't believe that it'll be copied in the same way probably ever again. I knew, for instance, there were apostles during that day, and there are no longer apostles here on the earth. And it was a time when the church was in its infancy, and God was blessing in supernatural ways. And the church was growing in just amazing ways. You all remember in Acts chapter 2, at the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost fell down in such great power, that at the end of that day, there were 3,000 baptized who recognized that they were sinners, and they cried out, saying, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And the Apostle Peter made it clear, "Repent every one of you and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." And they were. 3,000 were added there that day. Then you find later in the very same chapter that the church of God was together. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. They also continued together in fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. And there they were praising God together. And they had favor with God and with all people. And there were many added to the Lord. Why? Because these individuals were holding firm to the teachings of the apostles. They were meeting together in fellowship. They were praying to God, and they were communing together day by day, and they praised God as they met together. Their joy for the Lord was very fervent, and people in the community saw that, and they wanted to be with those people, and they bound together with them and joined together with them. But it all started because the Holy Ghost came upon them in great power. And then here the people of God, they joined together in one accord, and they were bound together, faithfully together. Here they were praying together, worshiping together, taking their communion with the Lord together. It's important that as we see those things, yes, it's true, that was a miraculous time. It was a time like no other, but yet it was still the same God working then that works right now. He's not altered. He's not changed. We find that the writer in Malachi says, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed." I don't want to leave you with the idea that if we followed everything that we saw in the book of Acts, all of a sudden 3,000 people would be here. That's not the point. The point is this, that we pray to the Lord for opportunity, and then we follow up with those opportunities and simply invite to the Lord's house. Again, the wild Gadarene, what was he told? "Go and tell thy friends how great things the Lord has done for you." It's that simple. We just express to people that we know how good the Lord has been, both in our private lives, but also in our church life as we worship together. We find in Acts chapter 10 a man by the name of Cornelius. He miraculously was sent a preacher. Here was a man, he was a Gentile. He didn't know the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew God because God had taught him in his own heart who the Lord was. And we know the Bible is clear that when each child of God is born again, God himself teaches who he is. The Bible makes it clear the day would come, he would write his law in our hearts and in our inward parts. And at that time, we would not tell every man his neighbor to know the Lord. He says, "But they shall know me from the least to the greatest." Why? Because God himself would introduce himself to you and I. And that's how we, by the Spirit of God, can cry, "Abba, Father." That's just an innocent crying out to our Father to help us. And every child of God has that. And Cornelius, that's where he was. He was a man that knew about God because God had taught him in his heart. But he didn't know the Lord Jesus Christ. And he didn't know salvation was of the Lord. There were so many things he were ignorant of, but he knew this. He knew to pray to the Father, and he knew to give alms to the people. There was something within him that told him it was right to give and help the poor, and it was right to pray to God. I believe that God is able to teach us that apart from the gospel. But Cornelius needed more than that. And so his prayers came up to God as a memorial. And so God sent him the Apostle Peter. And when Peter came on the scene, you know what Peter found? Peter found a house full of people. This is why. Because when the angel came to Cornelius and says, "Send to Joppa for one named Peter, who's at the house of Simon, a tanner by the seashore. You call for him. He'll come and tell you what you should do." And so Cornelius did that. And why he did, he's waiting. He didn't just sit there and twiddle his thumbs. He knew a man of God was coming because the angel of God told him where he was. He didn't know exactly what this man would tell him, but God told him this, "He'll tell you what you ought to do." And so he assembled in his home, the Bible says, his kinsmen and near friends. The wild Gadarene was told to go home and tell your friends how great things the Lord had done for you. Here Cornelius, he assembled together his kinsmen, that's his family, and his near friends, close friends. Here's what Cornelius thought. What I'm going to hear is from the Lord, because the Lord sent me that call for that preacher. And so the Lord is going to tell me something. And if it's good for me, it's good for my neighbors. It's good for my family. It's good for my near friends. And so when Peter came on the scene, it says that there were many assembled together in the house of Cornelius. I don't know how big his house was, but it was enough to hold many, however many are. But Peter didn't say when he got there there was just a few. Peter was impressed by the crowd. He said there were many there because this man recognized that the Word of God is important. And if it's important for us, it's important for others. And so he went out and he invited his neighbors, his near friends, and he also invited his family. We ought to do the very same. We all have a circle of influence in our lives. Whether it be the lady that cuts our hair every time, or the lady that we see at the checkout counter at Publix or Walmart or wherever we go and buy our groceries. Whether it be the individual at the local gas station, or whether it becomes more intimate than that. Even our own family in our homes or that live near us. Our neighbors, our family, our friends. There are so many people that are in our lives that we need to be expressing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to, and inviting them here to this place so they might come and hopefully, as we have found, a city of habitation, meaning a place where we can dwell with people who understand what we're going through. People who know our fears, but also our rejoicings. People just understand we're all the same. I realize we may come from different walks of life, but when you boil it all down, we all need the same things, and that's the grace of a loving God. And that's what's found in this place, I hope. And so I encourage you as we leave this day that we would all be very faithful in this, but also mindful that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, I know it's going to continue on. Because the Lord made it clear the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But I also see where many local churches have gone down because the membership of that local church were not faithful. So I know the church at large shall always be. But you know what I want? I want a church right here at Little Union all the days of my life, all the days of my daughter's life, my grandchildren's life, my great-grandchildren's life. He that wins souls is wise. And we need to be not looking just to our own generation, but what are we leaving for the generations ahead? We ought to act as though the life of this church depends upon it, because the life of this church depends upon it. Again, we're workers together with the Lord. I know He'll do His part, but let us be faithful to do ours. And again, it's very simple. Just pray the Lord to open doors of opportunity, doors of unction, as the Bible says, and then that we'll be faithful to follow that through and just simply invite and then leave it back to the Lord's hands and trust Him to add to His church daily such as should be saved. May God bless you this morning is our prayer. Amen.